Okay. Let's start, with your permission, from the last word on the first middle wide line, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, and then that'll take us both backwards to the Gemara on the top of above Amud Beis, and down further to the Gemara towards the bottom of Zayin, above Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Shnayim Shabbat Lofanecha Ledin, Ad Shalot Tishma Divrehem, Omi Shetishma Divrehem, Iyata Yodea Lehechon Habin Nota, Atarash Egomar Lehem, Tzu'u Ubitzu. However, Misha Tishma Divrehem, Vatayodea Lehechon Adin Nota, Iyata Rosh Egomar Lehem, Tzu'u Ubitzu, Shenemar Poter Mayim Reshis Madon, Lefne Hiskala Hariv Netosh, Kodem Shen Hiskala Hariv, Atayochol Notcho, you can jump ship, Misha Tizgala Hariv, Iyata Yochol Le Notcho. Okay. So Rav Shimon ben Manasseh is commenting on the statement of the Tanakama. Tanakama of the Brais on the top of the page said, Nigmar Hadin, Iyata Rashai Lepsoa. We saw Machokos over there between Rashi and Tosfos. Rav Shimon ben Manasseh adds in his criteria, at what point you're allowed to move from Din to Pshara. We'll come back to this in a minute. Let's just continue. Rish Lakish Amar, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Amar, Shnayim Shabo Gadin Echad Rach Vi Echad Kosha, Ad Shalot Tishma Divrehem, Omisha Tishma Divrehem, Iyata Yodel Hechanadin Nota, Ata Rashai Lo Marlehem, En Aninis Kaklachem, Sheman is Chayiv Chazak, Venimsa Chazak Rotvo. However, Misha Tishma Divrehem, Ata Yodel Hechanadin Nota, Iyata Yachol Lo Marlehem, Eninis Kaklachem. You can't abandon the case altogether. Okay, Adkan. We have over here two memros that were stated by two different individuals. One of them is a Tana, the other is an Amora. But we have over here exactly the same criteria. The question is, what's the relationship between these two halachot? Where we find mamash the exact same language used, one of them is a Sefer of a Tosefta, the other of them is a Maimar of the Amoraim, and this will help us, I think, clarify what are the issues in each of these situations. One situation is moving from the world of Din to the world of Pshara, the other is moving from the world of Din to a non-Din, namely moving from judging to not judging. At what point can a judge decide, I don't want to judge this case altogether? So let's go back to the first issue, in terms of moving from Din to Pshara. If you recall, we saw on the top of the Amud, Nigmar Hadin Iyatai Rashai Luftsoa. We saw Machokas between Rashi and Tosfos as to what this phrase means. Rashi understood Nigmar Hadin Amru, that the Beis Din already came to a conclusion and informed the parties of the conclusion, Ish Ploni Ata Zakai, Ish Ploni Ata Chayev. Once they have done that, then there's no going back to the world of Pshara. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, Nigmar hadin iyata rashai lepsogon shikvar diktiku b'din heitev. Ukemal gamru es hadin. Lo mechsar ela ish ploni atachayev. The kevan dihidbarir kolkach. We're dealing with a situation where the judge is basically finished judging the case. All that's left is the formal declaration. And at that point, even though they haven't informed the Balei Dinim, they're not allowed to move from Din to Pshara. Comes along Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and gives a third shita. He says, even if they haven't yet, certainly they haven't said anything to the Balei Dinim, but even if they haven't yet reached the conclusion, but it's clear to the Dayanim the direction of the conclusion, in other words, they can already see the light at the end of the tunnel, at that point they can no longer... move from the world of Din to the world of Pshara. Let's try and understand what over here is going on. What is the criteria? What is the criteria for the red line? So what does Tosfos say? What is the criteria for the red line? At what point?
Knowledge.
Why? What's the issue over here?
But Baal Din would never want to agree to it if he knew that it was going to be ruled in his favor.
In other words, we are not allowed to
do something about the one.
Okay, we're not allowed to trip up to lahatot forgive my English.
Deceive.
To deceive?
Misguide.
Misguide, okay. We're not allowed to deceive, to misguide the Baal Din. Look into Tosfos. Kevan din isbarir kolkach ein lahat oso la'asos pshara. That means once the din is known, then there is no reason why the person who would have won would have agreed to a pshara. He has a schut. He has a schut to a psak din emes. And that would be considered to be misleading him, misguiding him, to move him to a pshara when we already know that he would have won the whole table. He would have won the whole kid and caboodle. In other words, he would have been zakai for the entire matter. And then Tosis continues, what about Rashi? In other words, where according to Rashi do you have a hataya? Where do you have a misleading or misguiding? They already told what the psak din is. So, you know, it's what's the misguiding? If they want to change their mind, they could change their mind. So Tosus says, "Ubedochak yesh lomar shema yatu oso lomar lo yireim anu shema ta'inu bedin." That they say, "Nachon, we told you ploni ish ploni atazakai veish ploni atachayef," but maybe that's not the real din. And since it may not be the real din, would you still like to make a pshara? No, it's that is the hataya. That ki'ilu, it's not the real din, when in reality it would have been the real din. And so according to Tosis's understanding, the whole issue over here is one of misguiding the Baal Din, taking away a right. He has a right. If he went to a court for a din, he has a right to get a din. And so we have over here three points at which we can trip, at which the Dayanim would be behaving improperly. According to Rashi, they only behave improperly if they already informed the Baal Din of his rights, and now they want to go back and say, but maybe really these aren't your rights, so maybe you want to go to a pshara. According to Tosfos, they haven't yet informed him, but they already know, right? They have the knowledge totally of what the rights are of the Baal Din. And according to Rav Shimon Menasseh, even if they don't know totally, but they see the direction, that's already considered to be a red line. That, you know, it's going back to a pshara would be taking away a right, a psha, a schut that the Baal Din has. Okay, that's within Tosos. However, did we have another way of learning? Did we have another option of understanding what would be the red line aside from misguiding the Baal Din? Remember our Shilte Giborim? The Shilte Giborim dealt with a Dayan wearing different hats. A Dayan can wear the hat of a Moshe. Perhaps he can move over to be an Aharon. And we discussed at what point is he allowed to move from one to the other. Namely, so what over here is the issue according to Shilte Giborim? We're not dealing over here with nothing with the Baal Dinim. What are we looking at? What is the responsibility
of a Dayan?
Simply the responsibility of a Dayan is to give a din. And at a certain point, he can move over to be a pashran. He can take a different hat. He can say, I don't want to be a Dayan. I want to be an Aharon. But the question is, up to what point does he have that latitude? Up to what point can he move from one to the other? So the Tanakhama has one red line, which is a Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rav Shimon Menasseh has another red line. So we have over here then this whiteboard marker. We have over here this halacha. When can you move from doing a din to a pshara? And we have certain criteria. And then we have, this is Machlokas the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon ben Menasseh. And then we have, in terms of the Ben Lakish, the Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rav Yehuda ben Lakish, we have the issue of when can you move from being a Dayan to being a non-Dayan? When can you give up being a Dayan altogether with where we find parallel criteria. And we ask the question, are these two dinim connected, that we have the same criteria, or is it just, you know, it's a fascinating combination of facts that happen to coincide, but really there's no inner connection. Nu, what do you say? If this criteria, moving from a dayan to pshara, is an issue of tripping up, of misguiding the Baal Din, does that have anything to do with deciding not to be a dayan?
No.
No. But if we say that we're dealing over here with the responsibility of a dayan, right, the Moshe, when can he turn into an Aharon and when can he not turn into an Aharon, and we have a certain criteria, what could we understand in terms of these two halachos that may be
the same?
Namely, he also, once he's a Moshe, he can't decide to be Joe Schmo. He can't decide to be a no one. In other words, once he's a Dayan, he has to remain a Dayan. And with that over here, moving from a Dayan to being a Kosher, moving from a Dayan to being a non-Dayan, is really the same halacha. You're a Dayan. You just can't give up your responsibilities. But all of this is if we're assuming that moving from a Dayan to being a non-Dayan, then maybe both of these are dinim within the responsibilities of a dayan. That a dayan has certain responsibilities, and at a certain point, he can't give them up. He didn't have to deal with the case. Once he puts on a hat of a dayan and keeps it on for a certain amount of time, he can't replace it with a different hat and can't take it off altogether. However, is that really the issue that we're dealing with in the Rish Lakish world? Maybe yes, or maybe. What other issue could be dealt with over here? Namely, that the issue isn't his moving from being a Dayan to being a non-Dayan, but why is he doing it? If he's, you know, as the Gemara over here was more concerned with motivation. What's the issue over here?
Fear.
Is a dayan allowed to stop being a dayan because of fear? Right, that's the issue. So, what the Gemara is telling us is that up to a certain point, he's allowed to, because he doesn't yet know as to whether who he should be afraid of. Right, Masha'en came once it's clear to him that the din is going to go against the kosha, it's going to go against the chazak. Then that's where. In other words, so we have over here simply two ways of understanding this halacha. This halacha could be a din, like the previous one of in terms of changing hats, or it could be a din of pachad. He's not allowed, lo taguruf b'fnei ish, that he's not allowed to be afraid. Once he has taken upon himself to judge a case, he's not allowed to be afraid. What's nafgamina? I mean, can you give me a case where we would apply A and wouldn't apply B?
Yeah.
If the two
litigants have equal status, and they're not.
If in a situation where either there is no fear, what would be the halacha if they were on equal status? Or in a situation where, why did he want to leave the case? He wants to go on vacation. He has a golf match. He wants to practice for the marathon. People have all sorts of cheshbonos as to why they would want to stop doing A. Like the person, you know, doesn't want to be on jury duty. So it could be he's afraid of the mafia. Or it could be that he's just currently in the middle of writing his doctoral thesis and doesn't have the time to deal with sitting on a jury. So if we're dealing with the issue of once he's a dayan, he can't change his mind, then it's irrelevant why. If it's because of fear, if it's because of wants to take a vacation, sorry, you didn't have to take this case in the first place. Once you took it, then you have to remain. But if the whole issue is fear, so if he can say, I'm not afraid, but I'm just in the middle of a tennis tournament or a mashu kazen, I can't deal with this case. I thought it would take a week, and I see it's going to take a month. Then, according to the first side, it would be a problem. According to the second side, there's no lotaguru over here.
So
this is what?
So he can back out?
He would be able to back out if it's an issue. If the whole issue is one of lo taguru, so then to move from din to pshara, that's, you know, where it's, Again, we had over here two ways of understanding why it's also tamu from din to pshara. Is it a problem of hataya? Is it a problem of taking away the rights of the Baal Din? The Baal Din has a right to a psak, and we're misguiding him, misleading him. Or is it a din of it being a dayan? Even if we assume this, and the nafkamina was, is this case connected? If we assume it's being a dayan, perhaps. Hataya, no. But even if it's being a dayan, not necessarily, because this case could be either because of being a dayan or because of pacha. Namely, we have a question, what is over here standing behind? So this is the machlokas between Tosfos and the Shulta Gibor. Right? How to learn the first halacha. The first halacha, until when can you from a dayan to a pshara, Tosfos understands it as an issue of hataya. Once the dayan has a certain level of knowledge, and the question is, what level of knowledge? So we saw three deyos, or it's, as Shulta Gibor speaks about, moving from the Moshe to the Aharon, moving, wearing a different hat. In terms of Rish Lakish's or Yehuda Ben Lakish's halacha, of leaving the case altogether, it could be connected, or it could not be connected. Who says, black on white, that this is a din of fear? The Gemara gives the Gemara gives such a case. The question is that case the case which is given simply? The Gemara chose one option. The Gemara could have chosen other options. No, well, which Rishon says black on white that it's a din of fear? Let's look at the Rambam. Shnayim shabo lefanecha ledin echad rach echad kasha. Ad shelo tishmas divrehem, amisha tishmas divrehem. I ata yodea lehechan adin note, ata rashay lomar lehem, eini nizkak lechem. Shema yischayev hakasha, din tzorodef achar hadayan. So far, according to Gemara. Avo kishe tishmas divrehem vetedo lehechan adin note, I ata rashay lomar eini nizkak lechem, shenema lo tegur bnei ish. Ad kan the Gemara, the drama adds in. Shelo tomar ish ploni roshahu, shema yeharoget bini, shema yadlike gedishi, shema yekatzitz nti yosai. And clearly, according to the Rambam, when he, if he's already giving examples, we would expect him to give examples that would give us the boundaries of the lacha. All of his examples are examples of fear, of real fear. I'm afraid for my life. I'm afraid for my son's life. I'm afraid for damage, damage in my field, damage in my orchard, etc. Okay, so the Rambam clearly over here is explaining that the issue is one of fear. Had he said, "I don't want to deal with this case because I want to go on vacation," because my relative is ill, I have to take care of them, so then it would not be a problem. It's dafka, Rambam says dafka, one after another, case after another. Just as a parenthetical comment, there is a Bach in Chosha Mishpat who says that don't take the Rambam too literally. If really the Dayan would be afraid of that he's going to get killed, I mean, if you're out to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, this isn't one of the din of Yehoreg Yal Yavor, that a dayan has to give up his life. It is not Wyatt Earp, or some hero of the Wild West who's going to give up his life rather than fight against Billy the Kid. It's that there's a certain point where there's a fear, but it's not really, really pikuach nefesh. It's not clear, okay? But the Bach has a very good point. Yes.
According to the Rambam, is it the only wanted to just not judge the case?
Not a problem. No problem.
He would still.
He could.
He could back out.
He could back out. Right. The Rambam says that the issue over here is one of fear. That he says over and over. He quotes the Gemara again. The Gemara gives an example of fear. The question is that example the sole criteria, or just it happens to be an example. So the Rambam views it as a sole criteria. He takes that example and he amplifies it. In other words, what am I afraid of? I'm afraid of life. I'm afraid of damage. I'm afraid of terror, etc. Who disagrees with the Rambam? Who disagrees with the Rambam and says that we would have this halacha even had there not been fear? Well, let's look at the Or Zeruah right now. Okay,
very good.
Process of elimination. So let's look at the Or Zeruah. Or Zeruah first, it quotes the Gemara. That we don't have to read, okay? He quotes the entire Gemara, and then Pirish Rashi. Zatza. Shema Yischayev Chazak v'nimtza rodef es hadayan. V'chein mashem v'dvar v'nanach akra d'vol segur v'nei ish d'ayri b'dayani. Okay, I mean, we're not aware of any other Pirish. Pirish Riva v'rav Shimshon ben Avraham. This is the Rash Mishans, the Rashba of the Bali HaTosfos. Zatza. The dafka echad rachvi echad kasha, aval shnehem chazakim, afilu kodem sheyeda lahechan hadin note, mishetishama divrayim iata rashai lomar einis kaklachem, v'chayav letapel bedina. The mitzvahs asehi d'chsiv betzedek tishpat amisecha. Right, that it puts everything on its head. Namely, it's not that we have a person who wants to back out because of fear. But otherwise, there would be no, in other words, you could certainly back out. There's no issue. Pum fakir. What does he say over here? That to back out because you want to take a vacation. To back out because you want to deal with a golf match. To back out because you want to take care of a sick relative. What's then the halacha? Certainly you are allowed to or not allowed to?
You can't back out.
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. Right? In other words, we have a dispensation that if it's an issue of fear, then maybe you can back out up to a certain point. But if it's no question of fear, once you began, right? In other words, if in a situation where there is no fear, the moment that you began the case and you began to hear the sides of the plaintiff and the defendant, you put yourself as a dayan, that's now your responsibility. You didn't have to become a dayan in the first place. But once you put yourself on that pedestal and you heard the arguments, now you have a mitzvah to deal with this case. So we see to understand moving from a dayan to a non-dayan as an issue of a dayan, so this is the Or Zeruah. Again, we have over here the Shulta Giborim understands the previous halacha in this manner. The Or Zeruah understands the second halacha in this manner. The Shulta Giborim and the Or Zeruah would connect these two halachas. That the same way that we have an issue of moving from being a dayan to being a pashran, we have an issue of being a dayan to being a non-dayan. It's the same issue. The difference is that over here we're dealing with one criteria. And moving from a dayan to a non-dayan, you have two criteria. If you want to do it because of convenience, the moment that you put on your hat, you can't take a step back. If you want to do it because of fear, the moment you know the hechana didn't know, you can no longer take a step back. Right? But we're dealing with the same issue. Mashen can, according to the Rambam, this is a din of pachad. Who cares? This could be either a din of hataya or a din of dayan, but this is a totally separate halacha. Could you be medayik anything from Tosfos? We have a Tosfos on our page. Why am I running to the Rambam and to the Or Zeruah? We have a Tosfos, black and white. Tosfos, Nimtza Chazak Rotfo, Perush L'dayan, Kenemuchach Basar Hachi, period. Okay, this is what was pointed out, that we're talking about the issue of the Dayan. We're not talking over here about issues of Eidim that we'll talk about later on. If a witness, right, witness protection plans, etc., if a witness is afraid, that's a different matter. Okay? But here we're talking about the dayan being afraid. Then Tosfos continues, Ha denokat echad rach, shim hayu shneim chazokim, hasheni haya mesayo. Tosfos says that the reason that it mentions that one of them is a weakling and one of them is pumping iron is that if the two of them been pumping iron, then the dayan has nothing to be afraid of. Well, it's like the Rambam and not like the Rambam. In other words, Tosfos doesn't say what would be the halacha in that case. You see, Tosfos tells us he wants to explain to us simply the Gemara. The Gemara gives the example of Chazak Rodfo. So Tosfos says, in the case of Echad Rach, the Echad Kasha, Then we have this scenario of Echad Rodfo. Had they both been Kashim, so one of them would have blocked the other one. Okay, but what would have been the halacha?
That there's no heter to...
Maybe yes, maybe no. That's, we know, Tosis is giving us pshat in the Gemara, just in terms of the heter timsa, the case of the Gemara, the ukimta of the Gemara. He's not telling us what the halacha would be in that case. According to the Rambam, in that case, there would be no problem of taking a step out. According to the Or Zeruah, in that case, there would be a super problem of in other words, even before he had Yodei Adin Nota. Right? In other words, what Tosus would hold in that case, we don't know. We don't know what Tosus would hold. Would he hold that we have a super problem? We have no problem at all. He's not telling us. He's just telling us, he's giving us information. But he's not giving us any direction of psak. Okay. Again, just realize that the two individuals that the Or Zeruah quotes are Bali HaTosfos, right? The Riva and the Rashba. Those are heavyweight Bali HaTosfos. So it's possible that this Tosfos would agree with them. Or maybe no. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri learn like the Rambam. We don't know who this Tosfos is. But we can't tell anything from Tosfos. That's why I'm sending you to other Rishon. The Rambam says black on white that if it's not an issue of Pachad, there's no problem of the Dayan taking a step back. The issue is fear. Masha'inkein, according to the Or Zeruah, the Riva, and the Rashba, the fear is that there's a heter to take a step back until you reach a certain point. When there's no fear, there's an issue to take a step back at all. And the other mamish the other direction. Okay, this machlokas rishonim between the Or Zeruah and the Rambam is really two deos where in what. In the Sifri, right? In other words, that this is, we can take it back to Deos in the Sifri. Look at the Sifri on the Pasuk of Losagrup Ne'ish. The Sifri says, She'im boim shnayim gefanecha ad shelo tishma es divreyem ata rashai lishtok. Mi shetizgad lerecha hadin I ata rashai lishtok. Shemata ta din bein ata yodeich anam zechus hazaka yuchay vesachayev ata rashai lishtok. What's missing here totally in this section of the Sifri?
Any mention of Pachad.
No mention of Pachad. Dovar Acher, skip down to where the little part that I underline. Lo sagum neish, shemar tomar yisraenim neish proni, shema yaharoges binio, shema yadlikas gedish, shema yitot nititos. Who saw this Dovar Acher? This is the Rambam. The Rambam was quoting the Sifri. Right, so the Rambam is quoting the Dovar Acher of the Sifri, but the Riva and the Rashba are like the first parish of the Sifri. Namely, it's a machlokas Tanoim. And Lechora, what is the basis of this machlokas Tanoim? That already Rashi says. That what does the word Taguru mean? Lo Taguru Mimnei Ish. What does Rashi say? That's two perushim. First perush, Lo Taguru Mimnei Ish. Lo tiro, fear. Second perush, lo taguru, lo tachnis divarecha. Don't take a step back. Nothing to do with fear. Lo tachnis divarecha. If you already took upon yourself to be a dayan, then follow through. But the why do you want to be konis divarecha? That's irrelevant. Now, I mean, the question is, within the pasuk itself, the simple meaning of the word lo saguru, does that mean don't take a step back, don't be machnis devarecha, don't be quiet when you should be talking, and then it's irrelevant why you want to practice the marathon? Sorry, you already became a dayan. You can't now go ahead and practice for the marathon. You want to take care of your sick mother? Sorry, lo tachnis devarecha. You can't do that. Or does lo taguru mean don't fear? And then, okay, so it's fascinating over here that we have theoretical machlokas. We found that it's machlokas the Rambam and the Or Zeruah. Really, it's two deos in the Sifri. And these two deos in the Sifri stem from a question of Lashon HaKodesh, how to read the words Lo Saguru. Rashi has two perushim. These two perushim will lead us in two different directions.
At the beginning of the Sufri is mashma that even after you heard them, but you're not sure where to go, you're allowed to be mustali. But the Orezeru says that as soon as you hear
okay,
them...
Okay, you're correct. In terms of the details, the Orezeru is now working off of the Sufri. But in terms of the fact that we're not dealing with pachad, there we have... you're correct that the Sufri doesn't make the distinction that we find in the Orezeru, but we do find within the Sufri this... the lack of pachad of being a motivation. That's the Dover Acher. Dover Acher is the Rambam. Right? The Rambam clearly is quoting. He's quoting the example word for word of the Sifri. Okay, Ad Kan HaKaf Aleph. Tos, yeah.
Just in terms of the Tosfos and Rashi's and the Gemara itself switching off between Kasha and Chazak.
Don't know. Okay. If you have any ideas, be happy to hear. I don't know. I didn't see anyone talk about it. Okay, let's continue. Rav Yoshua ben Korcha, right? Rav Yoshua ben Korcha Omer, Minayin leTalmid sheyoshev b'nei Rabo v'ra'a zechus la'ani v'cho v'la ashir. Minayin shelo yishtok, sheneemar lo sagur b'nei ish, Rabbi Chanin Omer, What over here is being added by Rav Yoshua ben Korcha? What is being added? The previous statement dealt specifically with which office holder, with which individual. The statement that we dealt with of Rav Yehuda ben Lakish.
The Dayan.
That's what, if you remember, the Arzarua. Who was it? Said we're dealing over here with the Dayan, right? The Ozer of Pirush Rashi. We're dealing over here with the Dayanim. Here we're dealing with even
Talmud.
And what is the role of this Talmud?
To bring rise.
Okay, in other words, anyone who could influence the Psak Din, anyone who was in a position to influence the Psak Din, we have a din of Lo Tagur B'nei Ish. Right? In other words, they were expanding the hekef. Sorry, we're expanding the in English what
scope breadth.
Okay, thank you. We're expanding the scope, the breadth of the pasuk. That the pasuk is not only talking about the dayan, but anyone who could influence on the psak din has to deal with this issue of lo saguru. That's A. B. What is introduced into Lo Saguru that we weren't aware of previously? Previously, we dealt with the issue of arbitrarily wanting to be quiet or being quiet because of fear. What issue is being brought over here? Why would the Talmud be quiet?
Kavod,
either of whom or of whom?
Rav.
Or? Or the Ashir, right? Or the Ashir. Most people would be Machabid an Ashir more than an Ani, right? In other words, that's what's word over here in Tosfos. Lo tachnis devarecha gabi rosh v'ashir v'shayach rosh on yira sheno yorv nehem ela klomar al tachnis devarecha kadei lachlok lo kavod. Now, the lo kavod could either be kavod to his Rebbe. He doesn't want, his Rebbe's going in one direction. He doesn't want to push the Rebbe in the other direction. Or kavod to the Ashir. So we have an expansion then of the din of lo saguru. We have an expansion of the motivation, in other words, of kavod as opposed to yira. We have an expansion of the people, the set of individuals to whom it applies, that we're dealing not only with the dayanim, but anyone who can be mashpia on the psak din. Yes?
I mean, the implication of this tosfos is that it is pachad.
That we're dealing with an issue of motivation. Right. And we're expanding the motivation, not only pachad, but also kavod.
Right. I'm saying we can infer, in other words, the previous...
Right. From this tosfos, we can see. But again, the question is, are we dealing with the case or with the broader halacha? I mean, clearly the case of the previous Gemara was rach v'kashe, chazak rodfo. The question is what would be had there not been those issues? That's still unclear. Okay, so we have over here a double chiddush within the world We have over here a double chiddush within Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha. Rashi points out, Yoshev ne rabo, bo hadinuf ne rabo, bo lefanav, rabo tamad zechus lo ani chov halashir, rabo toe bedin, minayin shol yachol kavod lo rabo, v'yishtav. I mean, Rashi appears clearly that we're dealing with the relation between Talmud and the Rav. Tosfos, kedei lachol lo kavod, after having mentioned the ani and the ashir, is mashma, we're dealing with the kavod to the bali dover. It doesn't make a difference, it's just a question of how to read the Gemara. So, let's continue. V'yu ha'edim yodim es mi heim me'idim lifnei mi heim me'idim umi asid lipara mehem. Okay, now we're moving over from the Dayanim to the Edim, that the Edim should be aware of who is going to judge them in terms of their testimony. Who is going to judge to whom are they accountable in terms of their testimony, and who is that? Who is to whom are they accountable? V'amdu shnei anashim shamariv. No, lufnei Hashem. They're responsible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, their accountability is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold them responsible if justice is not done because of their exaggeration, their faulty memory, whatever issues they may have. What is clear from our Gemara in terms of this pasuk, va'amdu shnei anashim asher lahem hariv lefnei Hashem? Who are these shnei anashim? Eight. That's what Rashi quotes over here. That amdu shnei anashim ukmina masechet shvuas. That really is Ilkin in Masechet Shavuos. That is the way that the Gemara begins over there. Tana Rabbanan v'amdu shnei anashim be'edim hakasav medaver. Ata omer be'edim o eno ela be'balei dinim. Kishu omer asher lehem hariv harei balei dinim amor. Mash ani mekayim shnei anashim be'edim hakasav medaver. Namely, we have over here two sets of individuals. The Shnei Anashim are the Edim, Asher Lehem Hariv are the Toveya and the Nitva, the plaintiff and the defendant. V'im Nafshecha Lomar, and if you don't like that Perush of the Pasuk, says the Gemara, so I have another Perush, Kan Shnei, V'nemar Lahalan Shnei, that Anashim, Asher Lehem Hariv, are talking about the Bali Dover. The word shnei, we have gzeira shava. Here it says the word shnei, and later on it says al pi shnei edim. So ma lahalan be'edim afkan be'edim. Mayim nafshecha lomar. Why wouldn't you like to divide the pasuk in dealing with two sets of individuals, the edim and the balei dvarim? V'chitem em l'loksi v'asher lehem ariv. Kulei krov balei dinim mishtoi. Ne'mar kan shnei v'ne'mar lahalan shnei. Ma lahalan be'edim afkan be'edim. Namely, the Gemara offers two options, an ikar perush, that when if you're a Rashi and you're writing a perush on the Torah, the ikar perush is va'amdu shnei anashim edim asher lehem hariv balei dinim. That's the ikar perush. But you could say va'amdu shnei is edim anashim asher lehem hariv. Those are the balei dinim. However, if you look for a moment, I'll see it in 2 seconds, Michal. Shnei anashim, the Sifri, ein li ela bizman shem shnei anashim. Ish im isha v'isha im ish. Shtei noshim zoim zo menayin. Talmud lomar shel lahem hariv lefnei Hashem. How does the Sifri understand the phrase shnei anashim? Clearly, are we talking about edim or balei dinim? Balei dinim. I mean, there's no nafkamina. You know, it's edim. An ish should be pasul. To say that it's irrelevant talking about one man, one woman, two women, etc. within the world of balei dinim. Yochol afisha take shera le'edus, ne'mar kan shnei v'ne'mar lehalan shnei, mal shnei ha'amor lehalan anashim v'lo anashim, af shnei ha'amor kan anashim v'lo anashim. So just be aware that in other words, to assume that shnei anashim in the pasuk refers to edim is, you know, we're machokas tanoi. It's machokas within the Sifri, two deos within the Gemara and Shavuos, etc. The question is simply how to how to read the pasuk. But ech shelo yeh, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that the Edim have to have the fear of God in their hearts when they are giving Edus, because they're accountable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Gemara continues. And
if there's, in the Gemara, I just didn't understand, if he's bringing down the second one, Gzeir Shaba, so if the Gzeir Shaba exists, why isn't it just brought down from the beginning? Here's like Gzeir Shaba, and this is what it means through this Gzeir Shaba.
No, it's the Gemara. I only quoted part of the Gemara Shavuos. The Gemara goes through three permutations of saying that Shnei Anashim means the Edim, but Im Nafshecha Lomar, if you don't want to say it because of reason A, you don't want to say it because of reason B, you don't want to say it because of reason C, we could fall back on Gzeira Shava. That kind of read that the Gemara felt that this Gzeira Shava was a fallback position rather than the ideal. In other words, you could say that whenever you have the option of pshat or drash, we'll always look for pshat, and the drash would be the im nafshecha lomar. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, I'm sorry. V'yuha dayonim, right? The Braisa continues. V'yuha dayonim yodim es mi hein donim v'lofnehe mi hein donim v'mi osi lipar mehem. Sh'nemar Elohim nitzav ba'adas el v'chein b'yehoshafa tu omer v'yomer el ha'shoftim re'u ma'atem osim lo la'adam tishputu ki la'shem. That we have that the Dayanim are also accountable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we have over here that a Dayan could ask himself, Shema Yomar HaDayan Mali B'tzar Hazeh. In other words, self, there's no mitzvah on me to judge this case. And so why should I do it? In other words, why should I play with fire? Why should I? This is like Russian roulette. In other words, I'm only a human being. Maybe I'll make a mistake, and I won't judge properly, and then I'm going to lose my whole Olam Haba because I got involved in something that I shouldn't have. Why should I get involved in it in the first place? Okay, let's just stop at this point. This phrase, Mali Lutzar Hazeh, where else do we find it?
With Aiden.
By Aiden, right? If you look later on the Mishnah, together... Let's look on the Mishnah, on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, moving to Lamed Zayin Amid Bey. So on Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, Ketzad Ma'ayimim Al Ha'edim. So we bring the Edim in, and we really throw everything at them, right? We point out, if you make a mistake, do you realize what you could be doing? You could be destroying an individual, his future generations, etc., and you could bringing the whole world to destruction, v'chule, and you know, it's, are you sure you really know what you're talking about? Are you sure that you are being made exactly on what you saw, not a word of exaggeration, etc. So the last two words on the Amud, Shema Tomru. Ma lanu ulatzara hazos. Exactly the same language as our braisa. And maybe an aid will say, what do I need this for? So the answer to the aid is, halok farnemar v'hu aid o ra o yada im lo yagid. Namely, what is the answer to the aid when the aid asks, what do I need this for?
It's bad if you don't do it.
What?
It's bad if you don't do it.
It's bad if you don't do it. And how does the Rambam formulate this? I photostated the Rambam for you. Ha'aid. Bad davar mar mokom on the first side. Ha'ed mitzuve lohaid bebezdin b'chol edus sheyodeya. Bein edus sheyachayev eschavero. Bein edus sheyizakehu bo. Who yitvenu lohaid dinimamino. Shenemar who ed or ro yodem lo yaget. The Rambam takes this that the ed has no choice. In other words, the ed can't ask this question. The ed is obligated. In other words, you're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. You're obligated to be made. So you can't say, what do I need this for? Well, you have to be careful as an aid is to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? You have to be careful to be certain that you are not adding a phrase, an expression, a grimace, whatever, you're not adding anything to exactly what you saw. That's all. However, the Dayan, we can't give that answer, because a Dayan is not mitzvah to be a Dayan. An aid is mitzvah to be an aid. You just happen to be walking on the street, and there's an accident. There's a car accident right in front of your eyes. That's it. You're finished. You're an aid. That's now your responsibility. And put everything else aside, and whenever you are called to court, you have to go to court as a witness. That's a chiyuv. That's a chiyuv, to go to court as a witness. But the Dayan, after pointing out he's accountable to God, he says, Ma'i l'tzara zo, so what do we answer him? Talmud lomar imachem bedvar ha-mishpat. Ein lo l'dayan ela ma'she'in avro. It's a totally different answer. What's the answer to the Dayan when he says, Ma'i l'tzara zo? Let's look in Rashi. Ma'i l'tzara zo she'im et e'anesh. What do I need? What do I need this on my head? I'm a normal person. I never did an aveira in my life, and I'm going to get punished for being a dayan. It's not fair. Talmud lomar bi Yehoshafat imachem bedvar hamishpat lofi ma sheim levavchem shelevavchem note badavar klomar b'ta'anoseichem imachem b'mishpat lofi otan dvarim tushputu v'lo te'anshu. What is Rashi saying over here? Mamash, with this verbose Rashi. Probably the longest Rashi on the Amud. What's Rashi saying over here? What is the answer to the Dayan when he says, what do I need this for? I can make a mistake and lose everything.
If you do your best, you will get punished.
Exactly. Do your best. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at your heart. As long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you're doing your best, you're trying to come up with a Mishpat Tzedek, you're not going to be punished. Ein lo l'dayan l'irav l'mnoa atzmo min hadin l'fi she'eno dayan el ha'mashen avroos l'idon v'yiskavim l'otzio l'tzidko l'amito v'shuv lo yeonesh. Okay. In other words, by the aid, the answer, what do I need this for, is that's not your question. That's not a fair question. God made you into a witness. You are now chayav to be a witness. By a dayan, who doesn't have to be a dayan, why would he be a dayan? Because Kosh Baruch gives him a promise. As long as you try your hardest, even if in the Beis Din Shalmala they paskind otherwise, you're not going to be punished. You're not going to be punished as long as you try your hardest. Okay. This then raises for us a very fascinating dichotomy. What did we see about a dayan who makes a mistake? We saw that it depends where. If he makes a mistake in Dvar Mishnah, the whole judgment doesn't get off the ground. If he makes a mistake in Shikul Hadas, what?
He has to pay.
Unless, whole bunch of criteria. If he's a Samach, perhaps, if he's a Mumcheh L'Rabim, if he has Rishus from Beis Din, from the Reish Galusa, from the Nasi. Right? We have a whole list of criteria that will exempt him from payment, otherwise he pays. And yet, our Gemara is not talking at all about that. I mean, our Gemara is talking about what sort of a din? Not dine Adam, but dine Shamayim. Namely, we have dine Adam and we have dine Shamayim. Dine Adam, we have one set of criteria. Dine Shamayim, we have a totally separate set of criteria. Dine Shamayim, Dayan for Shema E'anesh. He's afraid I'm going to be punished. He's not worried about paying. He's worried about losing his olam haba. He was worried about kares, about misa b'dei shamayim. He's worried about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the context over here. If nemiyat hadaya, you know, where it's Elokim Yoshev ba'adat kedoshim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's sitting in along with the dayan. So we have one set of criteria in terms of dinei adam, permission. Where it's Mumcheh L'Rabim, etc. We have a totally different set of criteria in terms of Dinei Shamayim, sincerity and maximizing your ability. That's a very, very different, fascinating different condition. I'm mentioning this because of the Toras Ha'adam. The Ramban, as we are aware, wrote prolifically and generally, his writings are chidushim on the Gemara. He has a relatively small number of tshuvas that came down to us. He probably answered many more shailos than those that we have that came down to us. So we have shailos and tshuvos of the Ramban that were once upon a time understood as shailos and tshuvos of the Rashba, and therefore they're in a set shailos and tshuvos ha-Rashba ha-miyuchasot ha-Ramban miyuchasot ha-Rashba. And then we have various works that he wrote, like the Perush on Chumash, and we have a Sefer Torah Sa'adam that he wrote on everything dealing with illness, from the illness itself all the way until Hilchos Avelos. Through Hilchos, most of the Torah Sa'adam is on Hilchos Avelos, but it begins with Bikur Cholim, and then Dinim of Sakonas Nefashos, and then the status of a Goseis. And then Onen, Kvura, Avegos, those who will learn Hilchos Avegos, the Torah Sa'adam is, the Shulchan Aruch is basically built on Torah Sa'adam. The Mechab, the Beis Yosef had in front of him the Torah Sa'adam. So in one point he has a whole section on doctors. And this is well known because he deals with, is a doctor allowed to collect money for being a doctor? After all, you know, where it's Mahu Rofei Cholim, Afatatir Palim, Mahu Bechinam, Afatah Bechinam. The same way that a rabbi or shouldn't accept money for paskening halachos, or for teaching. So also a doctor, l'chor, should only be able to get schar batala. And so he deals with the fact, well, it costs a lot of money to go to medical school. And so the doctor is allowed to get back his investment, and you know, and that which is needed to, the society needs doctors, etc. So, you know, there's a certain amount of that the society is willing to pay in order to have good doctors, v'chule. Once upon a time, people didn't go to medical school to be doctors. When the Rambam wanted to be a doctor, he had to make a living, so he borrowed medical books from a doctor and read them and became a doctor from reading the medical books. But the Rambam, kind of in Spain, they had a different system, and you had to go to medical school, and it cost a lot of money. So the Rambam also talks about the issue of a doctor in terms of liability for the death of a patient. And that's what I sent you to, where the Mali Lutzarazos, Perek HaChovel, Tana, Debei Rabbi Yishmael, V'rapo Yirapei, Mikan Shenitna Rashut L'Rofei L'Rapot. Okay? The Torah gives permission to a doctor to get involved. We don't say that this is, we're not Christian scientists, right? That this is God's will that we be ill, and if God wants to, He will make us better. I remember when I was a kid, there used to be a joke that someone, there was a lecture that was being given, and someone raised his hand and asked, is there a Christian scientist in the house? And someone raised his hand, yes, can I help you? So he said, would you mind changing place with me? There's a draft over here. So the Christian, you know, or it was that for the Christian scientist, if God wants him to be ill, he'll be ill without the drift. And if he wants him to be sick, he'll be sick. Like, you know, it's not a question of where you sit. But the Kosh Baruch Hu paskins that he wants us to be involved in refuah. Perush Shemar Yomar Harofe Mali Batsara Hazeh. Parallel to the Dayan. Shema Et Eh. Maybe I make a mistake in Imtesi Horeg Nefashos B'Shogeg. And I'd have to go to an Ir Miklat. And what do I need this for? Okay, that's a very nice Gemara in Perek HaChovel. However, Kashili, says the Ramban, Ha'atanya b'tosefta, Rofei uman shiripa b'rishus bezden v'hizik hareze gola. We find that the Rofei does have to go to Golos. Alma onesh shogeg yesh v'dover. So you have a stira between the Gemara, the Braisa, Tanaber Yishmol and HaChovel, and the Tosefta. The Yeshlamar Hachi, HaRofei K'dayan Mitzuveh Ladun. V'im ta'a b'lo hoda, engo olav onesh klal. K'da Amrinan, our Gemara. Shema Yomar HaDayan Mali Onesh Zeh Tamadomar Yimachem B'dvar HaMishpat. Ein L'dayan Ela Ma She'enav Ro'ot. Va'af al pi kain im ta'a v'noda lebezdin shita'a mishalem ibeso al hadrachim hayiduim bo. What in the world is going on? Af agav dehasa mimdan bereshus bezdin patur afkan midine adam patur mitashlumen ela she'eno patur midine shamayim ad shemishalem hanezek v'yigoga aramisa Hoel v'noda sheta'a v'hizik v'heimit b'yadayim. What over here is the Ramban pointing out? Maybe just read to the end. V'chein amru b'tosefta b'bakama gabi petur midinei adam achem midinei shamayim rofei uman sheripe birshus bezdin pater midinei adam v'dino maser l'shamayim. Umikomakom beloho dashalo eno chayev klum kamo hadayan pato legamre b'midinei adam b'meone shamayim v'hu sheyizor kamo sheroi liyizor b'dinei nefashos lo yazik b'pshia. Well, what is Rambam pointing out? What is parallel between a dayan and a rofe?
When there's not known that the action happened, he's completely pato.
Let's start off. We have to always judge these issues on two planes, on the plane of Dine Adam and Dine Shammai. Okay. So in the world of Dine Adam, in terms of Dayanim, some Dayanim have Rishus, some Dayanim don't have Rishus. Rofim, they all have Rishus. The Torah, Nitan Rishus l'rofe l'rapos. The Rofe, B'dine Adam is not going to be chayav. But in Dine Shamayim, there, just as the Dayan has to deal with the issue, and we have a criteria, so also the Rofe. What would be the Rofe's Dine Shamayim?
Golus.
Dine Shamayim of the Rofe would be Golut, namely that the Golut is a kapara, that's Dine Shamayim. And we have two makoros. One makor says the rofe goes to galut, the other says he doesn't, and this depends on
if it was known or not.
What does known mean? Known means that he was negligent. It was known that he was negligent, and lo noda means that there was no negligence at all, just that the patient died. So when the rofe, there was no negligence at all, and the patient died. So then, in that situation, there's no galus. When it turns out that there was a degree of negligence, then the rofe didn't mean to kill the person. Right? There was no mazid. That's a case of shogeg. Shogeg, basically, you're pater b'dinei adam, and chayev b'dinei shamayim. If you're shogeg in olav, you're chayev a korban. If you're shogeg in misa, you're chayev galus. That's dinei shamayim. Okay? So we're dealing, and the rofe, we're not talking over here about a rofe chas v'shalom was killing on purpose. That was not a reality in the time of Chazal. These are not doctors who give mercy deaths or, you know, euthanasia or mashu.
Faulty medical knowledge would be considered shogeg or misasik. For example,
that would be misasik. In other words, if he was under the impression that this is the way that you deal with the issue, there's over Shabbos, there's a story about the Rambam that I heard that, in other words, after he read through the medical books, he then went to a doctor and said, "Can I watch you while you do your operations?" And one of the operations was an individual who had terrible headaches, and so they knocked him out and they, you know, drilled through the skull and saw the brain, and there was a little worm in the brain, and so the doctor wanted to take it out with the tongs, and so the Rambam said, you can cause tremendous amount of damage. You know, where the brain is very sensitive. So, well, if I don't take out this worm, he's going to die. And so, you know, isn't it better that he live with it? So Ram says, "Can I deal with this case?" And the Ram went out, and after a while he came back with a leaf and put the leaf on the outside of the skull, and the worm went to the leaf. And then, you know, they just had to refill the hole and everything was fine. And so the doctor said, "That's not in my medical books." Dr. Rama says, "Well, it's in the Gemara, right? That we have our medical books. You know, it's that every creature has that which can, which will serve as its nourishment, and you know, and in that way, you know, you can also deal with matters." So, in other words, had the doctor done whatever he did with his own medical knowledge, that was in his books. That's not negligence if he wasn't aware that there was another way of doing things, right? Okay, but negligence means that, you know, that sometimes he may have forgotten to put a certain amount of disinfectant or whatever, or he didn't wash his hands before the operation or mashu kaza. Then he would go to galut. Then he would go to What? That's bidei galut is bidei shamayim. This is it's not mazed. It's we deal bidei adam deal with mazed cases. Shogeg, that's dinei shamayim. That's kapara. Kapara. You know, it's that there's this, when there's a certain degree of what there was no intent to hurt, but there was a certain minor negligence. So that then we need a kapara. That's dinei shamayim. Korbanos are dinei shamayim. Golos is like a korban. It's dinei shamayim.
When the dayan has to pay, that's also dinei shamayim.
The dayan's paying. That's dinei adam. That's mesechet Sanhedrin. That the dayan pays. If he tov b'shikol hadas, then in b'dinei adam he pays. In other words, that he compensates. Compensation is dinei adam. There's no compensation in going to golos. It's not compensation. It's not, you know, it's the kapara of the individual who killed b'shogeg.
So what's the parallel in, I'm saying?
So I'm saying there is, in other words, but that's why I pointed out that in the world of dayanim, we view a certain level of negligence as being that which has an element of mazid in it, which can be dealt with b'dinei adam. Paying is dinei adam. But in terms of a doctor, again, the assumption is that a doctor would not be a mazid. And so by the doctor, and also the doctor's, in other words, not dealing with money. In other words, he's asking whether if a doctor was mazid on the level, a doctor made a mistake on the level of tolos b'shikol hadas, would he pay damages, punitive damages? Could there be a civil case against the doctor? Right? Could they simply... That's a good question. That's a good question. Don't have an answer. The Ramban over here doesn't relate to it at all. He simply points out that the moment that nitan reshut l'rofei l'rapot, that takes him off the hook, kaner'eh, from civil damages. Right. In other words, at the moment that he's like the dayan who has reshut from the Reish Galusa. So even if he makes a mistake, b'shikul hadas, he's pater. So b'dinei adam, the doctor and the dayan are both pater b'dinei adam with reshut. And the difference is that not every dayan has reshus, but every doctor has reshus. Every doctor has reshus. And then we deal with the issue of dinei shamayim, and there the criteria is the lo noda or the noda. Okay, very fascinating. So let's complete the daf over here. Hechi dami gemar din. We going back to the top of the page says nigmar hadin iata rashai livtzoa. What is the nature of that gemar din? The Tanakama. That which Rashi quotes on the top of the page. The only machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos is does the dayan have to say it? That's Rashi. Or is the dayan not allowed to say it? That's Tosfos. The dayan says that it's too late. It has to be up to that point. Up to and not including. That's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. However, we looking at Shas, what did you come across when you looked at Baba Kama, Baba Metzia?
I didn't get up to it.
Oh, you didn't get up to it. Up to here? Anyone get up to this? Yes? No. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay, so it's not no, it's look over there. You'll see there's another criteria for Gemar Din, namely Tseitein Lo. That's what the Gemara speaks about. That up to the point that a Ganav is told Tseitein Lo, he's still a Ganav. Moment that the Ganav was told Tseitein Lo, and then he does something, he's now a Gazlan. It's a new case. So the question is, what is the Gemar Din? Is it Chayav Atalitein Lo or is it Tseitein Lo? So Tosfos, both in Baba Kama and Baba Metzia, give one approach, that one of these is real and the other one is local. One of these is universal. It's a universal Gemar Din. The other one is a local Gemar Din. So see Tosfos Ishita. And the Yad Ramah, so I already saved you the trouble of running to the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah, you have it in the Kovetz. The Yad Ramah by us, the Chora gives another criteria, and so if you can take the Yad Ramah's criteria, and it's a more conceptual criteria, and simply in order to be able to formulate it well. I'd appreciate it. Okay, that's A. B, the Gemara moving over to Omer Lechem Tzu B'Tzu is a Gemara that hopefully you saw it. In other words, that points out that there's really a third shita between Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha and the Tanakama, and Rav Meir. Rav Meir says Osir Lipsoa, Rav Yeshua ben Korcha says Mitzvah Lipsoa, and we have a third shita that Rishus Lipsoa. And that's the bottom line. The Rishus Lipsoa that we tell the, you know, the we offer the option, but that option is a Rishus, it's not a Mitzvah. And that's where the Gemara ends the world of Pshara. Okay. So what we have for next time is to do the question over here between the Chayav HaTalitin and the Tzeitin Lo. And then we have just, since it's Parshas HaShavua, so we'll just go back a little bit to Mechiras Yosef, the Gemara of Keneged Yehuda, Yom Yehuda Lachav Mabetza, just a He'ara on Parshas HaShavua. And then we have over here a short Gemara that, in terms of the world of Botzea Beirach, in terms of making a bracha on that which is stolen. And so we have over here, you know, it's a short Tosfos, etc. In terms of, so we'll deal with those matters. And then I'd like you to learn another blot of Gemara, okay? To learn the Gemara from Zion Amed Aleph until Chet Amed Aleph. Until the two dots towards Ram Chesem Aleph, it's more agadata, but there are some halachos, and so I'll give you the Mar Makomos of those areas that we'll hone in on a little more. And so next time I'd like to get up to Chesem Aleph, the two dots, okay? And I'll give you, and again I'll fill in the Blinev of the Mar Makomos, and then after that we move back to the original Mishnah, we move back to the world of Shlosha Dayanim. And move into the world of Knas, and then begin the world of Dine Nefashos. Okay, so we'll get back to the world of Sanhedrin. You could tell by the Tosfos, you know, it's where things begin to get a little more complex. The Seder, and so we'll only have a few more Shiurim, and then you'll have time for Chazara. I mentioned to you, I'd like the Latina to be the end of the secular year. Okay? And so that's, we're almost into December, so we'll have another few shiurim, and then you'll have time to pass it.
How would that just be, like, how much, like, what would we be focused on? Because we covered so much.
We'll be focused on Sachakol, what did we learn? That's eight part of Gemara.
Baruch Hashem.
Okay, so that's why you'll have time to review. You'll have time to review, be on everything. And everything that we learn. Okay, there'll be part of it will be what's called regurgitation, and in other words, to say over things that